How do you do? In a boxing match, two combatants, each wary of the other, try to deliver a knockout punch and stand victorious. Well, the young man in this story learned to fight like that just to survive. His opponent, first of all, his brother, then others in authority, and ultimately his own rebellious self. He won his share of bouts, but he was ultimately victorious only when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, true life stories that proclaim the good news, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Street people find it hard to trust anyone, so when they come to Pacific Garden Mission and receive a warm welcome, they're skeptical. Oh, they're glad to receive the hearty meal, clean clothing, and a safe bunk the mission provides, all without charge. And if they're hurting, they even accept treatment at the mission's medical and dental clinic, something also freely provided to those without means. But trust? Too many people have let them down. They don't even trust themselves. Too many failures. And that's why pastors and counselors at the Old Lighthouse introduce the homeless to the only one they can trust, the one who will never let them down. He is the one who changes lives, as this story demonstrates. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2529 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Johnny, come in here and sit down. Your dad and I want to talk to you.
What I do now?
You didn't do anything, mijo. It's something we did a long time ago.
Huh?
I'm not your real dad, son.
He adopted you after we were married.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? I look like you, Dad. I even have curly hair like you.
I know you do. That's a small bonus from God. But I'm not your real father.
Your real father was a terrible man, mijo. He used to beat me and you kids when he was drunk. I thought I'd never get away from him.
How come I don't remember any of this?
You were only one when I married Ed. You're lucky you do not remember your real father. He was cruel.
So how come you're telling me this now?
It is because the Little League wants your birth certificate. And your name on it is different. You had to find out sooner or later.
I can't believe it. I thought you were my real dad.
I am your dad, mijo. I could not love you any more than I do now.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Dad's not a real father. I can't believe it.
Ah, I knew it all the time.
You did? How come you never told me?
Because you're a jerk, that's why.
Do you remember our other dad?
Oh, yeah, sure. He was real good with his fists. Like me.
Stop it, Bobby.
Shut up, you little jerk.
Put it out.
You're crying over something like that, huh? Huh?
Come on.
You're gonna be
stop, Bobby.
Right? Hey, I just told you to shut up!
At least in a boxing match, there are rules, a referee, and a timekeeper. The young man in our story had none of these to help him overcome his older brother's abuse, and the anger inside him grew until it ruled him. This is the true story of how love overcame that anger and taught him how to fight his real opponent. It's the true story of Johnny Garcia right now on Unshackled.
My family was very religious. We went to church every week. And Mom and Dad both expressed love for God. But they were just religious, not saved. I found a pornographic magazine in their room when I was about 10, kindling a fire of lust that consumed me for years. I adored my older brother and wanted to be an athlete just like him. Dad was our coach in Little League, and I loved him, too, even after I learned the truth about my real father.
Here, you want some beer? Have a sip, mijo.
Thanks, Dad.
Ed, he's too young to drink.
Oh, if my kids are going to drink, I want them to do it at home. Right, Johnny?
Yeah. You're all right, Dad.
He is a wonderful man, mijo. When I first met him, I thought he was a phony. Too good to be true.
Really?
Yes. The first date, he brought me 2 bags of groceries. There I was with 3 little ones. You were only 1 year old.
Wow.
And I was washing diapers in the bathroom.
It's true.
So the second date, he brings me a washer and a dryer. Such a man.
Isn't it?
Don't think I'm an angel, though. I used to be a violent man. But I've learned to control my temper, thank God. Only 2 things you have to remember, Johnny. Love God and love your wife.
Oh, I do love God. When I grow up, I want to be a pastor.
When I was 13, I started working part-time in a liquor store as a stock boy. And I would steal their porno magazines and their alcohol. So drinking and pornography had a grip on me early on. My older brother was an alcoholic by then, and that fueled his rage. And he'd come home and bust windows as well as us kids. Since we shared a room, he abused me in particular. Sometimes he tied my hands behind my back and beat me with a belt. Other times, he stuffed socks in my mouth and suffocated me with a pillow.
Put this on the table, Johnny.
Mom, you've got to do something about Bobby.
Oh, what is it now?
Mom, he tried to suffocate me with a pillow. And he just left. He's nuts.
What am I going to do about him? Ed!
Hey, but don't tell Bobby I told you. He said if I told, he'd kill me.
Yes, what is it?
It's Bobby. It scares me how much like his father he is.
Dad, he belongs in an institution.
Oh, Johnny, someday God is going to change him. God can do anything.
Yeah, well, that's great, Mom. I believe in God, too, but my brother needs to be locked up.
Oh, what can we do, Ed?
I cannot hit him because I might lose my temper and really hurt him.
He should be locked up. He's psychotic.
Let me tell you something, Johnny. I love your brother, and I don't want to lose him. So you just avoid him, okay? And don't antagonize him.
Because of the violence I suffered at home, I fought a lot in school. Anything set me off. I got into boxing as a way of defending myself against my brother, but then I developed a real love for the sport.
Hey, Mom, guess what?
I'm going to fight at the Golden Gloves tournament.
Oh, what's the Golden Gloves?
It's a boxing contest. It's a chance of a lifetime for me to show my stuff, you know.
You'll win. I just know it.
Just think. Maybe I'll be a pro someday, make a lot of money.
I thought you wanted to be a pastor.
Yeah, well, I like boxing too much.
Johnny.
Besides, if I make a lot of money, Ma, I can give it to the poor and help God that way.
If you want to be a great athlete, you shouldn't drink, son.
Ah, who says I drink, huh?
Johnny, God likes the truth.
Just kidding, Mom. I guess I drink a little. I tried to hide my drinking from my parents because I was the good kid. The one close to my mother. But one day, my brother and I had too much to drink, and we got into a terrible fight in the yard. He grabbed a brick from the planter and smashed it in my face. If I hadn't turned slightly, he could have killed me.
What's going on? Johnny, hold your fist! What did you do to him, Bobby?
Hit me with a brick!
Well, he asked for it.
Bobby!
Yeah, serves him right. Yeah, because he thinks he's so hot because he's had a few boxing lessons. I can whip you any day, Bobby.
My face.
Yeah, I never liked your looks anyway.
Oh, man, Bobby, I'm gonna kill you for this.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it. Come on inside. Let me clean off the blood, Johnny.
After that fight, my brother and I stopped speaking to each other. I still have scars, but my face finally healed. The violence in my heart was anything but healed. I dropped out of school and went to Mexico for 6 months. My parents didn't know how bad I'd become, drinking heavily, using cocaine and marijuana, and always the pornography and the girls. When I came home again, there seemed to be only one way to go.
Johnny, did you talk to the school about getting reinstated?
No.
Oh, why not? You need an education, son.
I joined the Navy instead.
Oh, what?
What did you go and do that
for? Oh, you're too young for the Navy.
No, I'm not. Besides, I'm not staying here with Bobby. He's going to kill me one of these days.
Oh, you're breaking my heart, son. We had such big hopes for you.
Oh, you're going to leave home again. I can't believe it.
I'll be back on weekends, Mom, and I can finish my education in the Navy.
Oh, well, I guess it's too late if you already signed up.
Look, it's a great opportunity, Dad. I can even keep boxing in the Navy.
Oh, you're just wasting your life, Johnny. That's all. Just wasting it.
No, I'm not. I'm going to do really well in the Navy. You'll see. At first, I did do well in the Navy. I was sent to San Diego, close enough to home that I could visit the family on the weekends. They were proud of my success. But not long after I joined, an unlikely event at home changed everything.
Johnny, did you hear about your brother?
No.
You didn't hear yet? I'm sure he's going to write you.
We don't speak to each other, Mom, remember?
But you should know about this. He was at work when it happened. He was on the forklift.
What, Mom? Well, what happened?
You won't believe it. He's not the same. He'll never be the same.
In a moment, Johnny will tell us about this extraordinary turn of events. Would you like to share these inspiring testimonies with others? Well, it's as easy as writing to ask for a couple of story booklets, and best of all, there's no charge. We've published dozens of these Unshackled stories in booklet form because so many people wrote to ask for copies. And we'd be happy to send some, even if you've already received some previously. Each booklet has been adapted from the radio drama Just As It Was Broadcast, telling the true story of a person who came out of darkness into God's truth. And each booklet ends with instruction on how to receive Christ, including Scripture, so that anyone can know how to meet the Lord. Many listeners give these Unshackled booklets to others as a way of personal evangelism. Or perhaps you need encouragement. Or maybe you know someone else who is struggling with a problem. You can also order booklets as well as other Unshackled resources directly on our website, www.unshackled.org. To request two free story booklets, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
Will you please tell me what happened, Mom?
Well, these guys at work have been after Bobby to study the Bible with them, but you know your brother.
Yeah, do I ever?
Well, this day, while they were praying for him, he got off the forklift and walked behind some pallets and...
What?
I don't know what happened, but he says he was saved.
Saved?
He gave his heart to God, Johnny. He's not the same at all.
No way, Mom. Come on. Absolutely no way.
You're coming home this weekend, aren't you?
Yeah.
You'll see.
Hey, man, you won't believe what happened to me. I got saved.
Yeah, that's what Mom said.
Yeah, this guy at work, he talked about Jesus all the time and said I was lost, and he was right. Johnny, if you don't receive Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. You're living in darkness. You got to get right with God, Johnny.
Look, man, I go to church every week.
That doesn't save you, man. You got to know God personally. I can't describe it, but something changed in me when I walked behind that pallet. I just dropped to my knees, and I bawled like a baby.
What, are you serious?
Yeah. I saw what a rotten person I was.
I won't argue with you there, man.
Listen, I'm really sorry about the way I treated you, Johnny. I hope you forgive me.
Wow. Well, sure, Bobby.
I asked God to forgive me, and I know that he did. I feel so clean, Johnny. You have to repent and ask Jesus to save you.
You're some kind of fanatic now, Bobby.
Listen to me, Johnny. You're going to hell if you don't give your life to Christ.
The change in my brother was dramatic and real. He mailed me a Bible and wrote letters telling me about his faith in Christ, but I didn't understand. I was engrossed in my career as an Airedale aboard a P-3 squadron. I was still using cocaine with my buddies, very much into pornography, having multiple relationships, and still harboring a violent temper. On my last deployments, I was sent to Alaska.
So what are you going to do about all those women when we go back home, huh?
Man, I don't know. I mean, tell them to take a number, I guess,
yeah,
huh?
You're in trouble, lover boy.
Yeah, so many women, so little me. It's a burden trying to keep them all happy, but somebody's got to do it.
Listen, go off, Garcia, huh?
Hey, who asked you?
You're a jerk, man.
Hey, man, don't you ever call me that. Come on! We wound up in a pretty bad fight, and I hurt that man worse than he'd been hurt in Vietnam. He had permanent damage to his face and threatened to kill me. Here's this note I just found under the door.
I know when you take a shower, and I'm gonna get you, Garcia. Oh, sounds like he's planning to hurt you.
Hurt me? He means to kill me.
You better do something about this, Johnny. Take some legal action.
No, I'm going to ask for a transfer.
You're going to go off flying status?
I got to do something. I only have a year and a half to go.
Well, you just better watch your back, man.
As soon as I gave up flying status, they sent me to the aircraft carrier Enterprise. And right away, my rebellious attitude led me down the wrong path. I didn't want to be on that ship. So I went home for 30 days of unauthorized leave. While there, I talked to the pastor who told me to go back and face the music, so I did. I caught the ship, which was headed for the Philippines, and went before the captain's mast for punishment.
Well, Garcia, you've always been in good standing, and we believe you're a good sailor. So we're going to give you a chance to be rehabilitated. We're going to send you to a place called Treasure Island Reform.
During my 30-day reform, which was like boot camp, I met a couple of other rebellious guys, and after we got out, we went right back to our old ways. Wine, women, and AWOL. My second trial wasn't nearly as accommodating. They sent me to the brig, where they take away everything, most of all your pride. I endured 30 days of humiliating hard labor on my hands and knees all day, scrubbing decks. One of the guards had a really bad attitude.
Man, is that the best you can do, Garcia? And put some elbow grease into that work. You scrub like a woman, you know that? Hey, what's the matter? You afraid of getting dishpan hands?
I'll give you two.
And no talking. I'll see you get another 30 days if you say one word, swabby. Now, scrub.
All night we had to sit in our cell on a chair, and we weren't allowed to talk. All we could do was read the Bible. Occasionally, another guy and I would make eye contact and roll our eyes at this bizarre punishment. And that guard would walk by with his foul language, and I promised myself to get in one day. As soon as we were free, we went ashore and got drunk.
Can you believe all that stuff they made us do?
No kid, man. I mean, I'm never going through that again. Never!
Hey, ain't you glad we don't have to sit in that cell tonight reading a Bible?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, not the Bible. I respect that. But to sit there without moving?
The feet flat on the floor. Yeah. Hands open in full view.
Yeah. And no talking, mister.
Oh, man, if I see that guard off base, I'm going to get him.
Hey, well, now's your chance, huh?
There he is. Oh, man, you're right.
Hey, Johnny, you better not.
That's okay, man.
You'll end up back in the brig, man.
I don't care. I punched him right through a wall, and when I went back to the ship the next day, there were wanted posters for me everywhere. I was arrested and faced a court-martial.
Seaman Garcia, striking a superior is a very serious offense. We've been patient with you, but this court cannot tolerate that kind of insubordination. Do you have anything to say for yourself before we pass sentence?
I was very drunk, sir. I don't even remember what happened.
Yes, we've heard testimony to that effect, but that's no excuse.
Whatever you do, sir, please don't send me to jail. Please. I can't go back to the brig again, sir.
Well, ordinarily, you'd receive prison time for egregious behavior like that. But in consideration of your service record up to this time, the court will instead give you a general discharge. You'll wait for your flight back to the U.S. mainland in a brig on shore, Mr. Garcia. Guard, Remove the defendant.
Well, my buddy and I waited to be discharged. We were both put in a brig with 40 or 50 hardcore criminals, rapists and murderers on their way to Leavenworth. I was grateful not to be going there with them. Nevertheless, I was still scared. So one night when the guard announced a Bible study and asked for volunteers, I was the only one who raised a hand to go.
God called me to share the good news with military people and prisoners, Johnny.
Yeah, well, right now I'm both.
Believe it or not, everyone is a prisoner of Satan, unless Jesus has set them free.
What do you mean?
Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin.
Boy, is that true. I've tried to clean up my act, but I just can't.
Well, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah, but some sins are worse than others, right?
We feel that way. But the Bible says, whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. A holy God demands perfection.
Well, no one is perfect. I know I'm not.
You're right. And the penalty for sin, any sin, is death. Eternal separation from God.
Look, I believe in God and I go to church, but I keep doing wrong. And look where I've ended up. My parents have no idea the trouble I'm in.
God knows, Johnny. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took all your sins to the cross with him. Do you understand? When you receive Christ, your sins are washed away. You become whiter than snow, God says.
Yeah, well, then why do I keep getting in trouble?
Have you received Jesus as your Savior?
Well, I think so. I went to church all my life.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yeah, that's what happened to my brother. He's completely different since he received Christ.
You can see that church attendance cannot provide new life in Christ. You need to repent of your sin and ask Jesus to forgive you and give you eternal life. Would you like to do that?
He led me in a prayer of repentance, planting a seed in my heart that would later produce the fruit of salvation. As soon as my buddy and I got out of the brig, we headed for a bar before getting on the airplane to fly home. We were being discharged together. The flight should have been from Philippines to Hawaii and from there to California, but there was a problem.
What'd he say? We're being diverted to some little island?
Something about an emergency nuclear testing going on or something.
Man, I don't trust him. I just want to get home.
Yeah, I want to get home too, but I'd sure hate to face my parents.
You just don't want to face all those women who think you're going to marry them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think we're in trouble?
Johnny, we're always in trouble.
I was scared. My whole life seemed to be falling apart. I reached into my seat and grabbed the Bible my brother had sent me, and inside was a letter he'd written.
Johnny, if you ever get to that place where you don't believe God, try him, and you'll see he's real.
Okay, Lord. If you're real, please come into my life. I'm tired of the mess I've made. I'm tired of the guilt and the shame, and I'm so sorry for the way I've lived. Please change me. I cried like a baby as I experienced God's wonderful peace and forgiveness. My buddy must have wondered why I was crying because when we landed on that little island, he asked.
What happened to you up there?
I asked Jesus to come into my heart and change me, and he did. I know he did. I feel completely different.
So how come you were crying?
Because I feel so good, man.
You're not making sense, man.
All right, remember that Bible we had to read in the brig?
Yeah.
It's true. It's all true. Jesus is the answer. Two weeks after we landed in California, I finally processed out of the Navy and immediately jumped in my car and drove home. A six-hour drive. My brother was there lifting weights in the backyard.
Hey, Johnny, what are you doing home?
Hey, I just got out of the Navy. But that's not the biggest news. I read your letter on the airplane and I did what you said.
Yeah?
I asked God to come in my heart and change me.
Hey, that's great.
Bobby, I felt something happen to me, something real and physical, and I started crying like a baby.
You're born again. You're saved. Same thing that happened to me.
It's so awesome.
Welcome to the kingdom of God. I've been praying for you.
Yeah, it was the change in you more than anything that did it. I knew Jesus was real. That was 1986. A struggled with my old nature for about 2 weeks, but God is so faithful. He delivered me from pornography, alcohol, and violence because I'm a new creature in Christ. My parents came to the Lord, and my little brother and sister, as well as cousins and aunts and uncles. The Lord led me to a Bible-teaching church where I trained for the ministry. He also gave me a beautiful Christian wife and blessed us with 2 children. And I am now assistant pastor of our church in Colorado Springs.
In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Listening friend, if you're tired of living with past failures and afraid of the future, why not turn from all that and come to the living God who promises He will never leave you or forsake you? Pray with us right now. Lord, I come to the cross where Jesus died for me, and I bring all the guilt and shame. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. I believe His death paid the penalty. I believe He rose from the dead and will give me new life in Him. And I thank you for that new life. Help me to be like Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. Friend, by praying in faith, you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Find a Bible-teaching church, read the Bible, and let us know of your decision so we can send you some literature to help you walk in faith. The address, Simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website at www.unshackled.org. Does this program brighten your day? Return the favor by writing to tell us about that. And the best way to assure the continuation of this broadcast is to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 2529, heard in the true story of Johnny Garcia, where Tim DeDavo, Mickey Hurd, Ray Van Steen, Jim Parks, Peter Zinn, and Steve Bayorgin. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please take a moment to write and say, "Thanks for Unshackled." Your letter is important to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. Looking for light at the end of the tunnel? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who knows about that light. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.